This week's episode of the X3F Defense Force podcast is brought to you by Patrick Young, the album.
It's the eye of the tiger, it's the thrill of the fight, rising up to the challenge of our rivals. And the last known survivors of his brand of the night, and he's watching us all with the eye of the tiger.
Welcome to the Xbox 360 Fanboy Fancast Defense Force Podcast. I'm Richard Elliott, and I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars.
Hi, my name is Evan Finsley, and I'm gonna have sex. Lots and lots of sex. Lots of beautiful, hot, sweaty, very sick. Nom, 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 nom.
All right.
I feel very sick.
In case you guys didn't get that, I was going to say, in case you guys didn't get that, Jonah's imitating Evan, who is not with us. Neither are Holly or Patrick. So all we got is Rich, Jonah, and myself. Matt Joseph, Gamer Tech,
Evan,
Matt Joe.
Evan hasn't really got an excuse, he just didn't turn up. Patrick's doing something, I think, with his relatives, and Holly is decorating. So,
Evan's having sex!
So what have you been playing then?
This is Jonah Falcon. I've been playing a lot of Spore, and I actually unlocked from demo to status, demo status, Golf Tee It Up, because a friend of mine said a lot of good things, and I must say, it's a pretty good, you know, tri-click golf game. I mean, it's one of those games which you can just play for 15 minutes and then leave, you know. Otherwise, I have not yet picked up Rock Band 2. I plan to pick up Rock Band 2 after the podcast, so that's that. And my achievement is getting a birdie for the time. That's it.
All right. First of all, I just want to let you guys know I'm sick. I got a stuffy nose and a cough and a sore throat, so my voice sounds a bit nasal.
Stop tongue kissing, you know.
Hey, you got better than me last week, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if I sound a bit sick, that's why. Anyways, I've only been playing one thing, Rock Band 2. It's all I've been playing since I got it. I got it last Sunday. It's pretty good. I like it a lot, but it's more Rock Band 1.5 than Rock Band 2. But I still do like it, nonetheless. And there's a bunch of great songs. There's also a bunch of terrible songs, though. But my achievement of the week would have to be, I mean, the achievements are so easy in the game. I'm not particularly proud of any of them. I mean, anybody could get any of them. But I guess Challenge Savant, complete 25 challenges on Expert difficulty. I mean, it was ridiculously easy to do, even though it was on Expert, but I guess it's like the hardest one I've gotten, even though none of them are particularly that hard. And then also today I picked up Pure, the ATV racing game, but I have not got a chance to play that yet. But I played the demo. The demo was great, so I'm looking forward to playing that.
How are the graphics? I heard that they're fantastic.
On Pure, I haven't played it yet, so I don't know.
Wait. You downloaded the demo?
Yeah.
But you haven't seen the graphics?
Oh no, I saw the graphics in the demo. They were good. I just haven't played the full game yet because I just bought it today.
Don't you think they'd be slightly representative of the game itself?
Well, right. No, because they have to put like a little disclaimer saying this is not a representation of the full finished product.
It came out a week before the. Oh, anyways.
Psst, it's a secret build.
We're telling secrets now.
I have a secret. I like sex.
All right, enough of
okay.
That.
Okay.
Go away, Adam.
Yeah, knock it off. Okay, this week I've been playing a bit of Griffball on Halo 3, a bit of Call of Duty with my cousin, and I've just today, a few hours ago, bought Star Wars The Force Unleashed. So, what was that? Was that a moan?
That game is sadly overrated.
I decided I was not going to buy it. If anything, I was going to rent it just to see how bad it could really be.
Well, I've only got to the second level so far, but I mean, it's I don't know. It doesn't exactly blow me away. I mean, the demo is when you the demo was all right. When you started off, I mean, it's a bit you've got a few more powers than what you have on the when you get to the same point in the retail build. But I mean, it's Anyway, my achievement of the week is interviewing the Canadian crusher, Zavda Matos. And that interview is, well, it was planned to be like a 5-minute interview, but it kind of escalated into a half an hour interview. So, yeah, we're putting that in at the end of the show. So,
sounds good. I heard that Force Unleashed gets a bit repetitive. That's one of the main complaints I've been hearing about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've only got to the second level. It's getting a bit repetitive now.
You know, KOTOR set the bar so high for Star Wars games, especially on the Xbox platform, that it's going to take a really good game to even make us, you know, really appreciate it. I mean, that's how much BioWare put into KOTOR. I mean, that, or the first one. The second one was unfinished, but, you know, it's just... the story and the dialogue and all that stuff. I mean, I couldn't care. The engine is supposed to be wonderful. You know, you have two separate engines, the Emotion engine and the Havoc engine, or whatever they name the engines in this one, you know. But the controls are so bad, you know, it's just they put too much attention into the engines and not into gameplay.
Yeah, it seems really unfinished.
Or rushed.
Rushed. If...
You know, the thing is, before you continue, is that that's the same problem with KOTOR 2, is that LucasArts got impatient and said, get it out now!
We have to have the monies.
That might have happened with this, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If they had, say, another year in development, it would probably be about on the same... I'm going to go out there on a limb and say it'd probably be on the same scale as KOTOR. I mean, it's... The controls, the camera, it just needs all a little bit more time put into it. And then after that, it's a really good game. If maybe a few, like, a bit of online, like, an online deathmatch mode wouldn't go amiss. But, yeah, that's... It just seems a bit unfinished.
Okay, so are we going to the news, or...?
Yeah, okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. My first bit of news item is that it's time to come get some. As Duke Nukem 3D will be hitting Xbox Live Arcade next week on the 24th. And I'm going to tell you something. I played the hell out of this game in 96 when it first came out. I got the Total Meltdown expansion. I made levels of the build engine. It was my first experience with death matching. Of course, it was called Duke matching. And I'm going to tell you something. I played this on my PC, on one of my older PCs, and it still holds up. So this is a fantastic title. What's it called? This is a not even demo. I'm just going to download it for the 800 Microsoft points. I mean, this game shows you what a first-person shooter can be when it's really thought out. I mean, it's the weapons. I mean, you have the Duke's Mighty Foot. You have the Shrink Ray. You have the Freeze Ray. When you shrink someone, you can squish them under your foot. You have the laser tripwire, you know. You have pig cops. I mean, you know, this is the game. You know, this is the game that competed with Quake at the time. If you remember, Quake had beautiful graphics, but it was just in gameplay. A lot of people picked Duke 3D over Quake because it was just so much fun. So, have you guys played Duke 3D at all?
I personally haven't, but I mean, after what I've heard about it, I mean, I'm going to be in the same boat as you. I'm going to buy it straight away. I'm not going to even hesitate because,
eight-player co-op too. So there's that.
I actually played the arcade version on X08. I wasn't that impressed. I don't think I'm going to be buying it, especially with all the other games out right now.
Oh, you're such a noob. And by noob, I mean noob at life. You had to have been there. I mean, let me put it this way. What's it called? This is the best pure death matching you can get. I mean, you know, because one of the fun things is that what's it called? You know, place the laser trip wires in front of the special item in the well where you can't see it. You know, and people just jump in and, oh, there, bloom. You know, this is a game, you know, that is part of video game history, and it still holds up for me. I mean, you know, this, if they ever put System Shock 2 on XBLA, I'll be ecstatic as well.
The only concern I have about the game is, I mean, everyone knows the story about Marathon and everyone getting sick about it, like, motion sickness. I just don't know I don't think they're going to update the graphics, are they?
No, it's the same graphics, but then again, it's an XBLA title.
I know, but still, I mean, it's...
It, you know, it's colorful enough that, you know, you're not going to mind. It's just that it's one of those things in which the graphics are superseded by the action and the humor and the voice. I mean, this is a game, you know, this is a game that, you know, one of the funny things is I never finished the single player. But, you know, it's just one of those games which, you know, I guess if you were around at the time, you know, and if you're on the Duke 3D side. And by the way, this game is why people are still interested in Duke Nukem Forever. You know, had it been any other game, had it been Blood, say, they were trying to make a Blood Forever, you know, and Blood was the same build engine, you know, except you're a vampire. This is a game, the reason why this, you're going to find out why people are still waiting for Duke Nukem Forever, you know, and are still interested in it, even with all the jokes about it, even with all the all the negative press about Duke Nukem Forever. People still want to play Duke Nukem Forever because they remember how great Duke 3D was. And you know what would have been nice? They're not going to do it, but they should have included the two Duke Nukem platformers that came before Duke 3D. Because Duke Nukem 1 and Duke Nukem 2 were 2D platformers.
Yeah, they're going to bring that out. I thought they were going to bring that out for DS sometime soon.
I don't know. I actually have Duke Nukem for the DS. They released that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, I thought they were going to bring out a trilogy DS version, and that was the one which had the trailer, which is basically the same clips, rotating. They were playing the same clip art. And all over again. It was,
oh yeah, that
like, three
right.
Minutes.
I remember that horrible trailer.
Yeah, like the world's worst.
One of the world's worst trailers.
I'll have to put a show link in the show notes. I keep saying that, and I never actually put anything in the show notes. I apologize, listeners. But I'll definitely have to put that in because that is one of the.
Evan, why don't you remind him?
I'm busy having sex.
Okay, right, you do whatever you want. Then. Okay, fine.
That joke's a bit overdone by now.
All right, leave it to die now.
Yeah, okay, I'm also talking to Patrick. He says hi to everyone, but he can't be here right now because he doesn't got a great internet connection where he is. So, and I think Holly's away.
Oh boy. Anyways, who's next?
All right, I guess I'll go. My news item of the week is a Fable 2. There's, I don't know if people know, but in Fable 2 pub games, there's actually a glitch that you could get you more money. And, people thought it was just unintentional, just something the developers forgot. But Peter Molyneux, the creator of Fable, came out this week and said they put the glitch in for a reason and they knew it was there. And it's so they could see who's cheating and there's going to be a punishment. Like when you get in Fable 2, they don't know what the punishment is yet, but your character might start off as evil or you might start off in debt, even though you have money, or you might be not liked by the other AI in the world, just something as a punishment for all the people who cheated. And basically he's just saying, like, we knew it was in there all along. We just want to see how many of you are good, how many of you are bad, and you're going to pay the consequences when Fable 2 comes out. I personally think it's BS. I mean,
I think it's horseshit, too. And I'm going to tell you why. I mean, there was an update that came out for Fable 2 games. I think that the thing is that they didn't put it in the beginning, and they were saying, okay, how are we going to fix this exploit? Say, well, we could make it so that, it resets all the money and only fix the exploit. But then Peter May said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's make it so that people can get away with it, but they get punished for it. So it's still creative thinking, but the fact that they knew it was there, nah.
Yeah, it was not premeditated. I really don't think that's true. I mean, I actually have used...
It's a good solution. I like the solution.
Yeah. I have used the glitch a few times. I mean, I don't have that much money. I've used it a couple of times just to try it out. I mean, I hope I don't get that harshly punished. But, I mean, how could they possibly know? If you don't have, like, an exorbitant amount of money, how are they going to know that you used the glitch? Like, I only have, like, 500,000 gold, which is not that much.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, they've been saying all along that, like, if you have lots of money... Then you're going to be, like, your character's going to get, like, really, like, I think it was fats and, like, basically not liked by everyone because everyone else will be at a lower income rate and you'll be miles above them. And they'll just look down on you and
You can buy a bar, then sell all the beer for free.
Good point. But, yeah, either way, all the cheaters have just been punked.
Like I said, it's a great solution to, you know, rather than punishing people, you punish them in a different way that's in line with the game itself. Now, I don't know about this exploit. I can't imagine. But the thing is that, fortunately, you don't have to import that character.
Mm.
You know, you can start off fresh without anything, or you can import your character. Now, I have a character who's in debt, so I'm going to have two characters. I'm going to have one that's normal, you know, that's not from, but I'm also going to import the guy who has debt just to see what happens, you know. Because, Fable 2 is just a story, you know, and there's nothing bad in a story. You know, it's just a tweak. I mean, you have stories in which people start out destitute or ugly or anything like that, and it's how they overcome it, you know. Mm. It's like sports, how you tell the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just don't know how they're going to be able to tell. Like, I hope I don't get penalized because I didn't use it that much. Like I said, I only have 500,000 gold, which isn't even that much. There's some people who have, like, millions, like hundreds of millions, which is, and they're for sure going to get just owned by this punishment, so.
Well, you know what I would like to see is that your character ends up with no money with their fingers broken because they tried to rip off Ace Rothstein's casino. Unless you saw the movie Casino.
Casino, yeah. I just got that right now. Took me a second there.
Wait, okay, what? Richard?
Okay, looks like it's my turn. He's back. The superintendent, who is the little plumber guy that was on the Bungie website around E3 before he got the axe, he's back. He's been spotted on the Bungie website again. There's been like a glitchy kind of image with him on it, and there's a transcript on this page, and it's basically a conversation between this I think it's a sergeant of some kind and the superintendent, and the superintendent's kind of get a bit glitchy, and the the sergeant or whatever, I haven't got it in front of me at the moment, he's basically a bit concerned, and he's like, all right then, whatever you say.
But now, there's been a lot of question of who the superintendent really is, and a lot of people are starting to think it's Luke Smith.
Mm. Well, it's at the end of the day, it's the forum poster probably would be Luke Smith, but
well, here's the reason why. Once he was photographed wearing a superintendent T-shirt, and then in July, Bungie issued a contest called the Recon Road Trip, where an unnamed Bungie employee would be wearing the superintendent T-shirt in public. And when they found him, guess who it was? Luke Smith. So it could be Luke Smith. It could be Frank O'Connor. But it seems like Luke Smith wants to be the superintendent. But like I said, no one quite knows yet. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, in this transcript, it has like a bit of coding. And in the coding, it says Tokyo Rules. So
Tokyo Game Show.
Yep, Tokyo Game Show. Could be the release, the announcement of the new Halo 3 Mythic, like this extension that everyone's going on about, even though Bungie are saying, oh, it's not going to be that good, it's really, don't get your intention, like, don't get it or get all hyped up about it. It might be that, it might be something else, completely different. only time will tell.
Halo Chronicles.
Hmm.
It could be the that Halo game that Bungie is supposed to be doing that has nothing that is not Halo 4, but is more of a tactical ops thing with Marines that has been strongly hinted at.
Oh.
And that could be the thing that they were going to announce at E3, but Microsoft said, no, you know what, hold off on it.
That would make sense with the transcripts with the sergeant guy. Oh, I can't, like I said, I haven't got it in front of me.
Commanding officer. I'm going to do officer.
Yeah. That would kind of make sense. That could
for communications duty.
Yeah, that could work together. But I mean,
what is this dog growling?
That could be a brute in the background.
Well, I think that's a good segue for our next news topic, which is I'm gonna tell you guys about it. I'm sure everyone knows the Halo 3 title update number 2 coming on Tuesday, correct?
Yarp.
Yeah. Yep, and it's going to add a new ranking system and an EXP progression system, and it's also going to add 250 new achievement points, which you have to get the achievements on the legendary map pack. So if you don't have that map pack, I suggest you go out and buy it. I did. I bought it last week. It's pretty good. I'm definitely going to be getting...
You only bought it last week?
Well, I don't really play Halo. I mainly bought it so I could get the new achievements. That's pretty much the only reason.
Is that all that fuels you?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, say what you want. But anyways, yeah, so I did buy them. They're actually pretty good. I like them.
One of the things about the achievements is that they're heavy on the marathon references. It makes
yes,
me wonder.
Yes, they are. But I'm going to have a busy week this coming week. So I got Rock Band 2, bunch of achievements left in that. I think I have like 31 or 32 out of 50, so I still have a lot left. Pure, I haven't even started yet. I want to start that this week. And the Halo 3 title update, I'm going to be getting back on Halo 3 this week. So I got a lot to play this week.
Oh, that reminds me. I just got Tales of Vesperia from Gamefly, so I'm going to be playing that as well.
Right.
So that demo is awful.
I want to see what the big fuss is about.
The demo was so bad for that.
Going back to the achievement. No. Oh, don't mind. Go.
Okay, well, mine is one of the games that I'm really looking forward to this year, and that's Mirror's Edge. It's going to be hitting Xbox 360 on November 11th. And the fact that I found out that it's not going to be on a rails, now, one of the worries that I had, everything I'd seen about Mirror's Edge, was it seemed like there was only one path, you know, one real path that you could take. But they had this demo a couple of weeks ago, and they had a lot of paths that you could take, and all of them were good. So that is that makes it just ramps it right up for me for Mirror's Edge, because it's something different. It doesn't have a 2 or a 3 in after its name, you know. And one other thing is if you pre-order Mirror's Edge, oh, and the demo's coming out a couple of weeks before, and the demo will include the tutorial, which is the entire prologue and a chunk of the campaign. And if you pre-order Mirror's Edge, you get to unlock the leaderboards for the time trial. That is that the faster you do a level, it'll be uploaded to the leaderboard so you can compete with your friends on how fast you can finish a level. So Mirror's Edge, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this one. Not to mention, it has a great cel-shaded look.
I'm still on the fence about that. I don't know. I'll have to try the demo.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, to be honest, Ubisoft don't normally release demos. You might just have to go out there and...
Well, the demo's coming out in late October, so...
Are they actually releasing the demo for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they already had a release date. Let me look it up quickly. But yeah, there's going to be a demo for it that's fairly soon, comparatively soon. I'm going to quickly check the Wiki page. But yeah, rats, they don't list it here. I know I had the news about it. So anyways, yeah, but Mirror's Edge really looks hot. It really looks hot. And so I think it's going to be a huge seller. You know, it's multi-platform, but, you know, I don't care. It's also coming out for the PC, which is unusual.
Yeah, but it's a new IP, and it's coming out like 5 days after Gears, and a new IP that comes out like 4 or 5 days after Gears 2 is just going to get crushed. I mean, everyone's going to be playing Gears 2.
I don't think so. I think, like I said, it's multi-platform. So.
Yeah, I think you're kind of not doing it justice. I mean, it's the amount of hype that surrounds it. I mean, if you look at any magazine, look at any website, everyone is praising this game. It just looks amazing. Well, apparently, it plays amazing. You just
Well, look at Force Unleashed. That had tons of hype.
In this person, in this woman's body. You know, the thing is, it's sort of like Thief Deadly Shadows in that you, if you look down, you see yourself, you know, unlike most first-person shooters. You know, if you look, you know, and there's no HUD at all, you know, and I like the way they have that red that just stands out, because most of the game is blues and yellows and greens, you know, very, very cool colors. You have that red, and it just sticks out. And by the way, you can turn that off.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can turn it off for the extra difficulty. So, I mean, it's that's the equivalent of expert mode, really. You've just got to just hope for the best and jump.
You know what could be a problem, though? People could get motion sickness from that game.
No, they solved that problem as well.
I know, they put the red dot in the middle of the screen, right? They have that red dot to keep people, like, centered.
Actually, the demo's coming out September 26th, so it's 2 weeks away.
Is that confirmed?
September 26th, didn't
confirmed.
You mean, like...
It was in a press release by Electronic Arts.
So that's Friday.
Friday.
Yeah,
So it's coming out in 1 week, I'm sorry. Track of time here.
Severely.
By the time you hear our next podcast, we're going to have all these sort of... Well, I know I'm going to give a report on it.
Speaking of our demos, has anyone tried Fracture?
No, I've just today downloaded it. It's on my YouTube playlist.
I downloaded it. I haven't tried it yet. Too busy with Rock Band 2.
Well, the thing is that, you know, no one's really made another Red Faction type game with deformable terrain, so it's going to be interesting to see. Oh, and one little extra bit of news is that they are having... Another developer is having their create your own achievement, in which they're going to have people write in the achievement that they think should be in there. So,
which game?
You know, I think it's a good idea because, you know, I like it when, you know, it's the second time I've heard of this happening.
What game is this for? What game is having the. Oh, okay.
Fracture.
Yeah.
It's a segue. You know, Fracture is they're actually saying, come on and create an achievement for us. Tell us what achievement you think, you know, we should have. I'm pretty sure most people are going to say, well, make a hole 500 feet deep or something like that, you know. Dig your own grave.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's time for me to say another story. MS has confirmed that there's going to be a new wave of European Xbox 360 price cuts. So that means that you can now buy an arcade for £129 or €179. You can buy a 60GB Pro. £469, €239, and 120GB Elites, that's for £229, €299. So
now, if you want to get an impression of how inexpensive that is, if you go £129 is $236.
So all right.
Just want to give you.
I was just gonna say. First of all, you said MS. For people that don't know, that's Microsoft.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Anyways, uh-huh. I was actually...
I should have said M and then... I'm sorry.
Anyways, I was at Future Shop today, which is like the Canadian Best Buy. I was actually thinking of getting a new 360. Mine's been broken ever since they sent it back from repairs back in February. So
wait,
I've been thinking...
Yeah. Your old broken 360, did it have an HDMI port?
I honestly don't know. I had a really old one from like a few months after launch.
Well, then you should upgrade anyway because all new 360s have that HDMI port, so that
I had the first one from like around like a few months after launch, that red ring. Then I got another one back. It's been having discrete errors and other errors ever since February. So I've been thinking about getting a new one. I was at Future Shop today and I saw they actually had a pretty good deal: $299 for the Pro, which comes with like the 60 gig hard drive and everything, and you get two games. You get Force Unleashed and Gears of War, which are both $60 retail value games. So that's like $120 extra value there.
Gears of War is still $60.
I would get the $199 and then slap your old hard drive onto it.
Maybe, yeah.
That's a lot less expensive because that's what I can do. I'm pondering getting another core. And slap it, because I upgraded my hard drive to the 120 gigabyte, so I'm thinking maybe I should get a 199 and slap on the 20 gig and put it in the living room, and, you know, have all my, you know, just you have the DDR there and all those other stuff that requires a lot of space.
But at the end of the day, you'd have to end up buying, like, if you were to do, like, buy another 360 for, like, say, downstairs in the living room, you'd also have to buy a memory card at the end of the day, and just to put your gamertag on there, because it would just get so
much. No. It would be an independent. I mean, for DDR, I don't really care about, you know, about achievement points and all that stuff. I mean, I have my main one, and then I have my then I have my alternate one, which I'd probably use to play DVDs and all that stuff, you know, and run, you know, play, you know, what's it called, high definition video on and stuff like that, you know. So.
Well, see, I would want the 60 gig hard drive. That was one of the reasons I also want to upgrade, because I do need a bigger hard drive. I just have the 20 right now, so.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, you might as well like shell out for the Elite.
Yeah, but I don't think I need 120. I think 60 would be just fine.
I think you will. I you know what? It's amazing how fast hard drive space can run out.
Mm-hmm.
Even, especially, you know, even with a 60.
Especially when you're downloading demos and like betas and beta.
The thing is that when you download all your Rock Band 1s to Rock Band 2, that takes up 1.5 gigabytes right there.
Yeah. So and when you put the hard drive in straight out the box, you've also got the emulation software for the backwards compatibility. So yeah, you start off, if you buy a 20 gig one out of the box, you've already like lost 7 gigabytes.
Okay. My turn. Megamind 9 is going to be hitting North American 360s on October 1st. Now, it's going to be hitting WiiWare this coming Monday. It's going to be hitting the PS3 a couple of days later, so I'm pretty sure that the reason why it's taking so long on the 360 is ye old, what do they call it again? You know, Microsoft wants to make sure everything's all right. Certification. Yeah. I'm sort of looking forward to Mega Man 9, if only because they worked so hard to make it like you're playing an NES game. They even include the bugs and the flickers that you had with the old NES, you know, and the music. I mean, just watching the video, it's sort of like saying, I'm going to have a lot of severe dislocation. I'm going to download this game. I'm going to start it. And all of a sudden you'll hear, you know, all these Nintendo sounds coming out of my 360. It's going to be like, whoa.
Going back in time.
It's freaking me out. Whoa. Are you going to be trying out Mega Man 9?
I've never actually sat and played a Mega Man game all the way through. I mean, I've played the odd, like, ROM online or whatever. They played the odd Flash game and Flash version of it. But, I mean, there's just not the appeal there, isn't it? Mega Man is never going to live up to Mario or Sonic or anyone like that. I mean, yeah, it's up there, but it's not at the same level.
Yeah, here's the appeal for me. From all reports, Mega Man 9 is not going to be a game in which it's not your fault when you die. The only time you die is when you make a mistake. Unlike, say, Bionic Commando Rearmed, which makes me want to throw my controller out the window. You know, I want a game that is skill based and not, oops, sorry, you died, try again. Bye bye. You know.
Well, isn't that Mega Man supposed to be like a really hard game, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's all skill based, you know. It isn't, you know, it isn't like some other games in which it's like, you know, you say, but I did everything right. Sorry, you die. Wah, wah.
Well, also the achievements for Mega Man 9 are like ridiculous. Like, complete the game without dying. Complete it without continuing.
Game Stooge writer Jonathan Howard mocked people who were complaining about the achievements, saying that he was doing this stuff on his NES with the original Mega Mans, you know, it's sort of like a challenge to achieve, like playing without ever, what's it called, firing a shot unless you need to. He did that on the original harder Mega Mans, you know. He accuses everybody of being weak and spineless. So, it's old school, you know. I mean, these games wanted to challenge you. I mean, some of them, like Battletoads, you know, did a little bit too much of the challenge.
I have never played Battletoads. I've always wanted.
Neither have I. I heard it's brutal.
I've always wanted to, but I just don't really want to get into that, really.
Well, for me, old school means Commodore 64 anyway.
Whenever someone mentions the Commodore 64, I can't get that picture of the image of the portal. Still alive playing on the Commodore 64 with the little graphics and everything. It's just,
I can't get out of my mind. Load open quote asterisk close quote comma 8, 1.
Okay, has everyone done their stories?
Yeah, so wait, let me just get this straight. Neither of you have played Rock Band 2. I can't talk about it with either of you.
You can talk about it. I mean, you know, the one thing that I want from Rock Band 2 is the I really am looking forward to being able to do World Tour solo. You know, it was always a pain, you know, because I'm not the sort of person who has a lot of friends who play 360. So, you know, it was either have a friend who I seldom see, or I try playing an instrument while using the mic and singing at the same time, which only got me so far. As good of a singer I am, it's kind of hard to sing and play the instrument at the same time while you're doing it.
Yeah, well, we haven't exactly got Patrick and Holly here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, just give us a...
I'm a Rock Band fan. I mean, you could just... There's other people who are Rock Band fans too. Just say what you have to say.
I know. But we haven't got Holly and Patrick.
I could do
news for this.
I could do this week in Rock Band if you want. I'll do
you're
it.
Talking about Rush. I mean, Moving Pictures.
Just give me a brief. Just tell us your brief thoughts on Rock Band 2.
All right. Well, it's a shame Holly and Patrick aren't here because they are the big Rock Band fans. But so far, like, I do like it, but it is more, like I said before, Rock Band 1.5. I mean, I was listening to the OXM podcast last night, and they hit the nail on the head when they said, if this is really what Harmonix has been working on for a full year, then it's really not that impressive. Because, I mean, if this is all they've been doing for a year, they should have done much more. And they left room for Guitar Hero World Tour to add a lot of new features. Because, I mean, like, they added new features, like the Battle of the Bands and, like, World Tour by yourself and stuff. But, like, the Battle of the Bands is, like, it's overrated. You're not even really playing against a band. You're playing against a leaderboard to get a better position on the leaderboard. And, like, the World Tour, yeah, you could do it by yourself, but it's still shallow and not that fleshed out. I mean, it's still a great game. Like I always say, I love music games. And there's a lot of good songs. There's also a lot of really bad songs. But, I mean, it's good for what it is, but I really hope Harmonix has something coming soon, because, I mean, it's really not Rock Band 2, it's just an expansion pack, and I still think Guitar Hero World Tour is going to be much better, but it still is a great game, and I mean, if you like the first one, you played the first one, then just go out and buy it, because it's still a great game.
Matt, we used to have to do our band, you know?
Oh, yeah, about that.
Yeah, the Flying Monkeys, whatever you're going to call it.
Yeah. Well, it actually sucks, because some of the achievements... you actually need, like, for there's one achievement where you have to get 100% on a guitar solo on expert using only the solo buttons, which I would be able to do. I sold all my Rock Band equipment like a week or two ago. All I have is an old Guitar Hero controller, so I can't get that one. And I sold my drums also, so I'm gonna have to wait to get the drum achievements until a World Tour comes out. So there's a couple achievements I won't be able to get for a while, but other than that, the achievements are pretty easy also, so that's always a good thing.
You know, that's a great segue for an article that I had posted yesterday. I went to Digital Life, and Peak Products showed off their guitar controllers, which work with Guitar Hero 3 and Rock Band. Man, these things, they're like the Rolls Royces of guitar controllers. For one thing, they're heavy. They're real wood finish. And while the rep said that, you know, they're lighter than a real electric guitar, you can still, these things, you know, it's like a real guitar in your hands. I mean, it's wood finish. It looks beautiful. The only problem is it's only coming out for PS2 and PS3, and they're releasing it for Wii later. They're having issues with Microsoft and their protectiveness about wireless stuff. So hopefully they'll get these problems out of the way. Now, keep in mind, these are so good and so realistic, they actually cost $180. They cost more than a Rock Band bundle itself. But when you actually hold one in your hands, you'll see why. If you want to check them out, you can go to www.peak-go.com and check them out for yourself. They're pretty good, you know. But I'm sorry, it's go-peak.com. I'm sorry. You know, these are beautiful guitars. And once they come out, you know, for the 360, you should definitely check them out if you have the money. I mean, there are people who play DDR and shell out the $200 for those metal dance pads, you know. This is the equivalent for Rock Band. So if you're really a Rock Band aficionado and you really want a solid guitar with great buttons, a great strummer, you know, and nice frets, you might want to check it out.
Yeah, there's a few things in Rock Band too that just like little things that don't really make a difference. It just makes it seem like just kind of odd. Like for instance, like you'll have a song where the singer in the song is clearly a girl's voice, but the little character singing it is a guy, and like that just looks off. Or like they'll say, "Would you like to accept this challenge to play these really, really tough songs?" And then you click yeah, and then the songs it gives you are like the easiest songs in the game. Or you'll be playing guitar and it says, to get some more money, we could give you another really hard drum song to play at the end of your set. Well, like, why would that matter if they give me a really hard drum song if I'm playing guitar, you know? Like, just some little things like that also just throw it off a bit. But, I mean, I still recommend it. I'm interested to hear what Patrick and Holly have to say.
The direction of that conversation.
I was playing with Patrick last night for a couple hours. Yeah. I think he's liking it a lot. We have some different tastes in music. He likes a lot of the songs that I hate.
Yeah, he likes good songs. He likes good songs.
Talking about music that Matt might like, I think it's time to go for a break. And this week we have got together a special public service announcement about Soulja Boy. Take it away.
Hello there. We at the XVF Defense Force podcast would like to announce a new service for our listeners. Recently, there has been a video making its rounds on the internet in which Soulja Boy, a gangster rapper, has been reviewing a game called Braid, which was recently released on the Xbox Live Arcade platform. Now, we would like to play a sample of this video followed by a translation in more understandable language. Thank you for listening.
Oh, man. Hey, it's your boy Soulja Boy Tellem. And they got this game, right, for people who smoke or people who drink. Like, if you drink beer and you get drunk, or if you smoke weed and you get high, and you just, anything, like, if you just be getting f***ed up, they got this game, right? Oh, no, this called Braid. Oh, no. He was in a suit, and he walking around, and he ain't got no point to the game. You just walk around jumping on It look like Mario in the future. And it's Mario in a business suit with his hair dyed orange and a tie on. And he just walk around jumping the But you, what's the funny part about it? You can do this right here. Watch this. You.
What do you do? How you do that? How you
now,
do
if
that?
You didn't catch that, I just went back in time. Through the whole game, he just be going back in time. Watch this. Like, you about to die. You be like, oh, I'm going to die. Hey, then the just come back. Watch this.
The aforementioned video game entitled Braid has a comical gameplay function which appeals to people under the influence of controlled substances. When depressing a specific button on the controller device, the game's timeline is immediately reversed until the same button on the controller device is released, thus allowing time to travel in its normal linear direction. Taking advantage of this function allows the protagonist of the game to be strategically repositioned so that it may be advanced through various in-game obstacles. Braid also presents a nebulous goal that appears to be of no indeterminable reason or function.
And welcome back. Okay, I think it's time for us to go into this week's XBLA news.
So, hold on, I have some breaking news, really. We were talking about Duke 3D before. They actually, some new information has come out. Supposedly, OXM's August issue has a review of Duke 3D, and they say it will cost 800 Microsoft points. So that's a good thing. And also, they say that there's going to be like a multiplayer lobby system, and they say that's like really good. So,
Larry mentioned it has 8-player co-op and also regular Duke matches.
Yeah, but I saw some
800 points is a news, but you know, it's nice to know.
I saw some screenshots of the lobby system. Looks good.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. Because the other thing is, of course, you have the clip sharing, you know, and also you can use that same device to rewind all the mistakes you make. You know, yeah. You get killed, just and try it over again.
Like Braid.
Yeah, Braid is more puzzle. This is just more like cheating. Cheating.
Okay, so
well, this week in Xbox Live Arcade releases features Fish, Dominoes, and Train Maps. Now, one of the titles is Feeding Frenzy 2 Shipwreck Showdown, which has a nice cult following because yours truly really enjoyed Feeding Frenzy, you know, in which you just snap up, you know, it's basically a big fish eat little fish type of game, you know, and that's all you do. Of course, there are pearls to eat and all that stuff. Well, Feeding Frenzy 2 adds some four-player co-op and competitive online play, and also includes some mini games. So if you enjoyed Feeding Frenzy, and this is PopCap, so, you know, whatever PopCap does, you know, okay. It's pretty good, you know. Domino Master is dominoes. Now, there's five modes, including something called Mexican Train, which seems to look like Racco. You ever play Racco? Mm-hmm. You know, in which you have that rack and you have to do it by order, you know, the numbers by order. So they're both 800 Microsoft points. Now, I can stomach Feeding Frenzy 2. Haha, get the little segue there. I can stomach 800 Microsoft points, but for Domino's, I'm not sure. Also included is the 1910 USA map for Ticket to Ride. I'm a huge Ticket to Ride fan, and you know, this one was hinted at, and we finally got it. It includes 35 new destination cards, a new bonus card called Globetrotter, and basically what it does is that it comes with three game modes. One is the Mega Game, in which you have to pick from five cards rather than just normal three, and it's, you know, it's really compact. And it also unlocks one achievement that was in the European map pack but was unlockable until you got the 1910 USA map. So I actually unlocked it, so, you know, it's no. I know some people might have issues with, you know, oh, but there's an achievement I can't get. You're forcing me to buy another game in order to unlock it? Well, you know what? If all you're caring about is achievements, like a certain achievement whore here, I guess you'd have an issue. It's sort of pricey for an expansion. It's 400 Microsoft points, you know, $5. But, you know, I put it down immediately because I love Ticket to Ride.
Right. So. And just let's say I have not played any of this week's XBLA games, but I have played Dominoes, I have fed fish, I have been on trains. That is all. Thank you. Thank you.
The other XBLA news is that 2K Games is going to be issuing their first XBLA game called MLB Stickball. Now, MLB... I mean, 2K has already released these games. One is MLB Power Pros, you know, which is basically Wii and DS, which is good. It's a really good game. And the other one is MLB 2K8 Fantasy All-Stars, which is not so good. So this is going to be their third casual baseball game. Now, it's an MLB license, but it's going to be stickball. Now, for those of you who don't know baseball at all,
like me,
well, stickball is sort of like the street version of baseball, but there's several varieties. One, you have kids throwing at a box, you know, on a wall, and you swing, and wherever you hit it, it's, you know, it's either a double or triple. It's arbitrary, you know, it's like wherever you hit it.
Yeah.
The other one is classic stickball, you know, what you see from the old 20s films and 30s films, in which you bounce a ball, and it's more like cricket in that way, by the way, Richard.
Yes. And where
right, and you have to hit it. Now, it's going to take advantage of its street locations, such as you'll have obstacles. If you hit a fire hydrant and make it splush, you get bonus points. If you break a window, it's an automatic out. You know? So I'm intrigued by this title. It's one of the few. It's by 2K. It's going to be from a major publisher. And it's going to be a sports title, something of which there's a, you know, a dearth of on XBLA. I mean, what do you have? You have bank shot billiards and speedball and golf, tee it up. You know, so there aren't too many sports games. So this one is on my radar. I'll let you know how it is. It's coming out on October 8th, just like 3 weeks from now. So that's it for XBLA news.
Okay. Okay, so, Matt, it's now your time to shine. Achievements 101, go.
We actually have a special guest making a special appearance. We didn't even know he'd be here, but we have the legendary Dustin Berg from X3F.
Dustin!
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd stop by. Is that fine?
Oh,
that's
yes.
Perfect.
I'm tired. But what am I missing? What are you guys talking about? What's up?
We're just about to go into this Matt's Achievements 101 section.
But if Ooh. You But if Dustin, if you want to introduce yourself and tell everyone what you've been playing, that'd be cool.
Well, I don't think I need an introduction, do I? No, Dustin from X3F, of course. And actually, tonight I'm going to be playing Rock Band 2. Tonight at a friend's house, and I am a Rock Band 2 virgin. I've been getting a lot of shit because I was playing Rock Band 1 last night.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't think so, but people are all like, well, you gotta upgrade, blah, blah, and stuff. So
I can't upgrade. So.
Yeah, you're kind of screwed over.
Yeah. I believe
but yeah,
I'm
that's.
Oh, go ahead.
What was that?
I was just gonna say, I believe our very own Patrick is actually one of the people who sent you a message. I was playing with him last night. He said he sent you a message to get Rock Band 2.
Oh yes, him and the 18 other people.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I'm excited to play tonight because, and I even purchased more downloadable content and everything. So I'm excited to get my singing on.
Did you do the $5 upgrade?
I did actually because when I go somewhere I'm like the guy with the DLC, right? I'm that guy. So I have all the DLC on my hard drive, so I figured since I don't have Rock Band 2, all that jazz, I'll still buy the $5 upgrade thingy and then take my hard drive over there, and then, you know, it'll be like the Uber hard drive with all the goodness on. So yes, I'm excited.
Are you planning on actually buying it though? Are you gonna get it?
It's the plan. Yes, it's the plan. But yeah, I'm still. I have a credit card bill to pay, guys.
Okay.
It's all part of it.
It's all part of the plan. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, we were discussing it earlier. Rock Band 2. I'm the only one who has it here right now. I was saying it's more Rock Band 1.5 than Rock Band 2, but it's still worth the purchase for sure. Yeah.
I don't care. Like I said, I want the single player world tour, you know? I mean, I don't want to have to, you know, force someone to play with me if I want to just do world tour.
Indeed, indeed. Actually, I was talking to Alexander too, and he said nothing annoys him more right now than playing with Rock Band 2 people who haven't done that transfer, the $5 transfer, because he's like, why wouldn't you, right? It's like $5, just bring the music over, and they're like, well, I haven't got around to it yet, so.
Yeah, you know what skates people on the 360 are. I mean, they hear 800 Microsoft points. No, that's too expensive! $10!
But I don't think anyone's complaining about the $5 transfer. That's a pretty good deal, so. Unless you really love Enter Sandman, then I guess you're screwed.
I actually do love that song.
Really,
you know, on
song.
The other podcast for Game Stooge, they keep on ripping that song. It's like, why are you hating on this song? You can't sing the, what's it called, the guitar sucks. What? Like, they have special hate for that song.
Oh, I like it. It's a good one.
Like anyway, Matt, are you going to go into your Achievements 101?
All right,
yeah,
sure.
Let me hear this Achievements 101. I'll
all right.
Sit back
he's,
patiently.
He's stealing ground from another Canadian, so...
Yes. So Richard is actually making a reference to the famous Knuckles Dawson, who also used to work for X3F. This was a segment he did, and we're kind of attributing him by doing our own Achievements 101. So every week I tell you news about achievements and some achievement tips. So this week we actually had a couple very, very big games release their achievements. We actually had Fable 2 release their achievements, and there was a list leaked a while ago, and... It wasn't exact, but it was pretty close. Although a lot of things, yeah, but not exact.
Have an orgy without a condom?
Technically, there is something like that. It's not those words, but anyway, so I was gonna say
you're worried about the orgy achievement, weren't you, Jonah?
I want the orgy achievement. Yeah.
I was just gonna say. Something I noticed, a lot of them say, do whatever, whatever, or see another hero do so, or do whatever, do whatever, or have another hero do so, which leads me to believe if you're in co-op, yeah, exactly. And your friend does it, you get the achievement also. Like, change your hero's title or see a hero change theirs. Cliff dive 500 feet or see another hero do so. And they're pretty much all like that. Tattoo every part of your hero's body or see another hero do so. So co-op.
So you're not going to get, like, if you're the tag along player, you're not going to have the Viva Pinata syndrome where, like, the host player gets
No. You'll both get it. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, they look pretty inventive, pretty original. It's a good list overall. Some other games.
And some funny ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Very funny ones.
Very funny.
No, Fable 2 is positioning itself to be sort of like a Second Life type of game because of the drop-in, drop-out co-op. I mean, one of the things I said is, you know, you're going to be testing your friendship if behind your back you screw your friend's wife and kill her. And then say, oh, how'd she get like that? You know, it's like you could do some really nasty stuff to your friend's world.
Yeah, if you wanted. Screw Second Life. This is going to be the home killer. This is the reason to get a 360 because all these like PS3 homeboys, fanboys are like, oh, we're going to be able to hang out over people's houses. Yeah, we're going to be able to do that and screw their wives. I'm just saying, is all.
Actually,
you can have one wife, so you can screw all their wives.
But actually, it's funny you mentioned the screwing thing too, because I was wondering if there's STDs in the game. Is that no? Because I say that because at E3, when we got the play a little bit, one of the Lionhead guys was like, "Oh, you guys have to go upstairs and stuff," and he told us where to go, and we broke into this house and went up into the bedroom, and he's like, oh, open up the cabinet. And we open up the cabinet, and there's like a sheepskin condom in the cabinet, right? And then you pick it up, and I that's disturbing, I guess, a little bit. But
you just got boned.
You just got boned. So I wonder if there's STDs able to.
Yes, there is, actually. Molly New actually said this. You can have STDs. And if you're a woman, of course, you can get pregnant.
They really have thought of everything.
So is that what was it, Shadowrun, where you were bleeding out? Would it be like that, but over a longer period of time, where you're like always losing health?
With the baby?
No.
Or with an STD?
STD.
The STD.
Maybe it just decreases your stats.
No, you just have to take breaks to itch yourself, probably, or something.
Great.
Now, you have to have that because if you had that, then only the heterosexual characters would care about the condom, not to have kids.
Always taking it to another level, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you can have homosexual relationships in the game. As a matter of fact, you can have a wife and a husband and have that sort of bigamy.
Awesome. Good times.
All right. Okay. Well, continuing on with this segment. We have achievements for the arcade portal still alive. There are just 12 of them. I mean, you got the ones for beating the advanced chambers, a couple for finding and collecting a few things. I mean, nothing too great there. I like Portal, but I'm not super excited. It's basically just like an expansion pack, a few more levels. We have the Dead Space achievements, and that's a game that I've gotten more hyped for over time. I'm really looking forward to that now. The achievements are easy also, which is a good thing. Just basically completing the chapters, collecting. There's ones for like dismembering 20, 500, and 1,000 limbs, killing enemies with certain weapons. You know, your standard achievements, they look pretty good. Far Cry 2 achievements are now out, a game I'm still on the fence about. It looks okay.
I'm getting it because of the map editor.
True.
That map editor is incredible.
Yeah, it does look pretty good, but I mean, Far Cry 2, they have a bunch of online ones because they're going to have a big online mode, and they have a bunch of single-player ones. And then lastly, a game I don't care about, Spider-Man Web of Shadows. Achievements are now out. I don't care, really.
If it was being released before Spider-Man 3, the movie Spider-Man 3 came out in the game, I'd probably be excited for it. Spider-Man 3 just killed my view of Spider-Man. The dance, the game, no, just... The emotes, no, just don't go there.
Regarding Portal, I have a feeling that you may not buy it now, but But I think they're going to continue to release map packs for Portal like they do with N+. And the more map packs that are released, the more people are going to start buying Portal.
Maybe.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah. Anyways, so for achievement tips, I've only been playing one game this week, Rock Band 2. I currently stand at 31 out of 50 achievements, 555 points out of 1,000. Like I said earlier in the show, the achievements are incredibly easy. I mean, I don't really know what to tell you. I'm just looking here. For the scoring 100 notes on as a guitarist on Expert, the song you want to use is Charlene. It's a free download song. It's about 90 seconds. If you can't get 100, there's something wrong with you.
I love the Charlene.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's ridiculously easy. For drumming, 100%. I haven't got it yet because I sold my drums, like I said before, but the song you want to use is Silver by the Pixies. It's a downloadable content song. Incredibly easy. It's two notes, the whole song. So that's Silver by the Pixies.
Are you serious?
Why?
Two notes.
Is that on the Pixies album? Is that?
Yeah. I got it in Rock Band 1. That's how I did it in Rock Band 1 with that song for the achievement.
Wow.
It's insanely easy. Like, anyone could do it. For flawless singing, the song you want to use is, I forget the name, I think it's So What You Want by the Beastie Boys. That's where I did it. I got it on my first try.
Yeah,
it's,
by the way, about that, you were talking about the improvements from Rock Band 1 to Rock Band 2. That's one of the biggest improvements, especially for us vocalists, is that in Rock Band 1, it was really random when you were doing the spoken words.
Yeah.
They've tightened up, I hear, for Rock Band 2.
Yeah, that's true. The spoken word songs are very easy to sing. Like I said, my first try, I got 100% on that one. So those are the 100% ones. There's also the one for getting 100% on a guitar solo on Expert using the solo buttons. I don't have the Rock Band guitar, so I can't do that. A lot of them you'll just get as you play along. Let's see. There's one, Along for the Ride, people might be confused about. It says beat an instrument-specific challenge while playing another instrument. I thought that meant like you had to beat a guitar challenge while playing drums, but it's actually much easier. You could get your friend to play guitar in the guitar challenge, and you play drums, and you'll still get it. You don't actually physically have to use another instrument. So that's pretty easy. There's a bunch of achievements for completing challenges on Expert. The challenges are really easy. I mean, if you could play Expert, you should be able to beat most of them. The biggest one is complete 25 challenges on Expert, which I got yesterday. A tip there is if you are having trouble, first of all, you could save in challenges. You can't in Band World Tour, but you could save mid-set list in a challenge, which is really helpful. You could also do them in co-op, so if you can't beat it by yourself on Expert, get a friend in, you play bass, he plays guitar, whatever, you both do Expert, and you could save each other if you can't handle it by yourself. I mean, you should be able to, though. There's tons of them, and I'm sure you could be able to find 25 to beat on Expert. It's not that hard. The impossible challenges, there's four achievements, or three for it, beating the guitar impossible, mic impossible, and drum. The funny thing is you could actually do those on easy. So it's not really even an achievement. Other than that, there's two more I just want to give tips on. People might be confused. There's one for Bachman-Turner Award, which is maintain deployed overdrive for 90 seconds. So be in star power for 90 seconds. Real easy. You probably can't do it solo, but if you hop online, find even just one or two other players, and you coordinate when to use your star power, you could get a good streak going for 90 or more seconds. Really easy. And then the Million Point Club, which I thought was going to be hard. There's tons of songs to do it on. I did it on Down With The Sickness. We were all on Expert except the singer who was on Medium, and we still got over a million. You could also use, what's the one by Sonic Youth? Teenage Riot. You could use that song. There's a lot of songs. If you have four people, even if two are on Expert and two on Hard, you should still be able to get that achievement, no problem. And the rest are really just, you know, you'll get them by playing through Band World Tour. And I don't really know what other tips to give you guys.
Wow. You are a wealth of achievement information.
I did a little research on Matt.
Yeah?
I went to the 360 Voice to check his page, and I wanted to see what his largest achievement gain ever in a single day was. It was on July 7th. Apparently, he got 43 achievements in one day on Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah. I played that game. The first day I got it, I played it all day for like 7 or 8 hours nonstop. I got 43 out of the 45, I think, or 46 achievements. Got them all in one day. My fingers were like broken by the end of the day. It was actually ridiculous.
I also got one achievement for Rock Band, too. Huh.
Yeah, I see it now. There it is. 44 achievements. My fingers were just dead that day. That game's really easy for achievements. So Guitar Hero Aerosmith. I sold that game. Yeah, so
I won it from that Slurpee contest, and I sold it to get Viva Pinata.
It wasn't bad. It was good.
It was supposed to have the white stripes on it, but it didn't, so yeah. I said, screw it.
Buy us. Screw lie hard. To me. Okay, I think we should...
I have to get going, guys. There's a person here that needs my attention, so... I thought I'd stop in and say hi, so, okay?
All right. Thanks for coming along, Dustin.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys later and probably be on another time. Good day, sis.
Good day.
Thanks for being here.
One little thing before we go. I'd like to do the deal of the week for the Xbox 360. Amazon.com right now is having a special deal on several stuff. You can get an Xbox Live 12-month Gold subscription for $38.99 instead of regular $50. They have a 4,000 points card for $39.97, which is normally $50. Both those deals will be active and for a bit. So I just wanted to let you know about some really good deals on Amazon if you want to extend your Live subscription or buy some Microsoft points.
That was Jonah's Clip of the Week. Dumb. No, wait, not Clip of the Week. Ignore that. Okay. Okay, I think we
you
should
can
do
put
some...
that anywhere in the podcast.
Yeah.
Outtakes. Okay, so I think we should do some reader mail now. We've actually got some reader mail this week. It's from a few weeks ago, to be honest, but I thought I'd save it until Zab was on the show. Now, it's not technically on the show. If you carry on listening, he'll be... There's the interview afterwards. So we kind of presented it to him and got his views on the whole.
Oh, wait. I just forgot to say one thing. If you, just in relation to my achievements 101 section, if you need help on any other achievements or you see an achievement on my gamer card that you need help with, just let me know. Send me a message over Live, preferably text message. My gamer tag is MATT space JO. So there you go.
I need someone to find all my Halo 3 skulls.
I'll do it if you pay me.
Ooh.
Didn't they have a Penny Arcade comic about that?
I don't know.
Anywho.
Yeah, they did, and it's a pretty funny comic. Too bad I don't have the URL with me right now. But
okay, this is from, apologies if I get your name wrong, Bray Dan. Okay, hi, I love the podcast that you guys have. Also, my questions are, how long have you each been checking / monitoring X3F, and in regards to the tour of Silicon Knights Studio and in the interview with Dennis Dyack was great. Even though I didn't personally enjoy Too Human, what were everyone's thoughts on the interview, and should they do more tours / interviews? Personally, I believe they should do more tours / interviews. Smiley face.
All right. Well, I guess we should start by when we started reading X3F.
I did it like 3 years ago, only because I was doing some web searches.
I honestly can't remember. I mean, I know I started listening to their podcast in about episode 9 or 10, and I probably started reading the site a bit before that. I don't remember exactly when. I've only had my 360 for like two and a bit years. I don't even know. So it, just like a couple years ago, I probably started reading. I don't know exactly when.
I can remember listening to the first podcast, and I don't know how this fits in with the timeline or anyway, if it was before or after the podcast. But I can remember being on holiday and or vacation, as you Americans like to call it, and I just have this memory in the back of my head. I remember checking up, and there was an announcement for Crackdown. I don't know when it was announced, but yeah, I can remember the announcement of Crackdown. So on the X3F site. So if you find the first episode, Tay, like the date for that and the date for when Crackdown was announced, then yeah, the one that's earliest is when I was. Anyway, in regards to Silicon Knights Studio and interview with Dennis Dyack, what did everyone think?
I honestly didn't read it or watch it. I don't care about that game. So.
I don't care about Too Human. I don't care about Too Human. But I thought it was... I mean, it's always nice to see what happens like behind the scenes of the games. I mean, I know Jonah's works on a major blog, so he's got more of a industry know-how anyway. But from, like... Well, I'm kind of it's always kind of like you always find a game, and you always, when you buy a game, you always have the end product. You have no idea what goes into it beforehand. I mean, you get the odd like teaser trailer here and there, like, and you get like the odd behind the scenes like video footage of the game, like in beta build or beta or alpha or whatever. But you don't see the studio and like what goes on and who the people are that actually are making these games. And that's the reason why I watched it. I enjoyed it so much. And I mean, the interview with Dennis Dyack, I have my own personal opinion on Dennis Dyack, and I'm not going to go into that right now.
What were the highlights for you? Cherry pick from the interview, what really stood out to you?
I thought his stance, I mean, Zav picks up on this in the interview at the end of the show, but I have the same opinion as Zav when it comes to the Valkyrie, I think it's the Valkyrie scene, where it comes down and like it's the quote punishment for death end quote. But I mean that the point where Dennis Dyack started explaining that was probably the highlight for me, because it just I don't know how to explain it. It's just he's that, to quote Zav, blind with passion. So.
Yeah, one of the things that I found in both the movie industry and the video game industry is when you have someone's dream project, it usually ends up a game that only they would enjoy, you know, not everybody would enjoy.
Mm.
And it just, you know, Too Human seems like the sort of game in which someone creates a game that they'd enjoy and other people say, oh, wait, what's going on here? I mean, it's sort of like Jeff Minter and Space Giraffe, if you recall that game. You know, in which it was good for a certain population, but the rest just said, this is just one huge cluster bleep, you know? So,
Well, there was recently, on my iTunes, I subscribed to G4's, X-Play's, like, video podcast, and what happened was they were going on about how to pitch your idea for a video game. And they had, it was at PAX, and they had this table of like industry professionals, and like the people were like just pitching their ideas, and some of them were really good, but it was just like these industry professionals were just saying, no, that would suck, go away. And I mean, at the end of the day, they have more experience, so I trust them, but anyway.
Do you have any more letters?
No, that's the only one. Just one.
Sorry, before we go, I just want to inject one news item that you can just plug anywhere. There's going to be some Race Driver Grid DLC incoming. It's going to feature a couple, like 8 cars and 4 new achievements, 25 points each. There's no pricing yet on it. It's going to be probably your usual standard 300 to 400 Microsoft points.
All right. Also, I just want to say we have some iTunes reviews. So our first one is actually from the Canadian store, and it comes to us from, let me pull up his name, by
Knuckles Dawson.
No. I actually can't. It's
thank you for commenting on the Achievement Hunter podcast.
Yeah. No, it's XBARBAB, and then it gets cut off, although he says, it's called Can the Canadians Keep It Up? 4 stars. Let's hope so. Great start and really good first show. Now it's time to get us to like/hate the host so we actually care about what you're playing now. Personally, I'm looking forward to hating at least one of you. Smiley face. New news and Canadian content, and you guys will go far. Peace. And
well,
also,
Richard's from England, and I'm from New York, so they can hate one of us.
And yeah. I'm not from Canada. I am from Lincolnshire in England.
Yeah, I don't know where this whole concept of Canadians comes from. I'm the only Canadian here, so I don't know where this whole concept's coming from. But also, on the American store, we have a couple reviews also. Let me just pull them up here.
America!
One really intelligent one.
Yeah. All right. So our first one is by Double Dragons. He says, simply breathtaking. 5 stars. This podcast is full of win. Joystick is full of fail. Enough said. Also, blueberry muffin tops are not the greatest thing ever. Then we have another one called Best Podcast Ever. 5 stars by Jonah Falcon. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I think this podcast beats all the others hands down. Okay.
I've never heard of that guy before in my life.
I've never
heard of his opinions or his experience from websites.
Oh, he's a moron.
Next, we have one from, again, the name's cut off. I don't know how to see the full name. BLAKB something. It says, one of the top two podcasts based on Facebook groups based. Guts cut off, whatever, 5 stars, says, you will be hard-pressed to find another podcast as fantastically effective with respect to supplementing the X3F Defense Force Facebook group's efforts defending the X3F Fancast. Just try it, I dare you. And lastly, we have a Growing Pains Don't Hurt, 5 stars, by Red Sun. Thanks for getting up on iTunes. Lazy people like me need subscriptions to keep up with podcasts. Growing Pains aside, looking forward to the next show. Keep working on it. And if you guys would like to leave us a review, just search us in iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review.
Okay. Are you doing Zune yet?
Yeah, well, no. Well, I have applied for Zune, but they still haven't got back to us, so I'm guessing we failed their application process.
Too much cursing.
Yeah. God. But, yeah.
And also, Rich, you want to tell them where they could send our listener mail to?
Yep. Our email is x3ffdf@gmail.com. So, yeah, and in regards to iTunes reviews, yeah, you just be honest. As long as you put 5 stars. No, just be honest. Just describe us. Your feedback helps lots.
Good or bad, doesn't matter.
Yeah, if you
also, I repost all the podcasts at GameStooge.com, so if you can't remember x3ffdf.wordpress.com, you can always get the link from GameStooge when a new podcast comes up.
That was a good plug. That's the one.
Yep.
Okay, great. I think we should say thanks to Justin Berg for coming on the show briefly. And also thanks to Zev Dematos for the interview, which you can find at the end of this podcast. Also, I'd like to say thanks to Richard Mitchell for helping put together and producing and editing the X3F Fancast, because without that, we wouldn't be here. And also thanks to, what's his name?
Alexander?
No, Alexander Slawinski, that's the one. So, thanks you guys, and I think it's time to say goodbye. So, I've been Richard, and this was a triumph.
This is Jonah, and I'm going to go out and do some crime fighting.
And this has been Matt. I apologize for my nasally voice. I am sick and not feeling well, but I still managed to make it. And I'm off to go get some more fans in Rock Band 2 World Tour, and then check out Pier.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't say that.
I'm still having sex.
Right at the end. Jonah, sit down. Stay.
All right.
Good boy. Now at the end. Okay, 3, 2, 1, and welcome back. Okay, so I think we should.
Jonah. All right.
Okay. Hey, just keep the laughs in.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so, Matt, it's now your time to shine. Achievements 101, go. Matt?
Oh, he's busy playing Rock Band 2. Matt, what are you doing with Holly?
Oh, sorry, guys, my mic was on mute. My mic was on mute, I'm sorry. I thought you guys
did.
All right, anyways, I unmuted my mic. Patrick messaged me. He said to tell everyone that Travis Barker was in a plane crash and is in critical condition. So let's hope Travis Barker gets better For those that don't know who Travis Barker is, he is a drummer from Blink-182.
Let's hope he has a speedy recovery. Okay, so I'm here with the man himself, Mr. Zav Dematos. You probably will recognize Zav as he is one of the usual suspects on the X3F Fancast. But Zav, tell us what you do around the Joystick Network.
So for Joystick, I'm the contributing editor to Xbox 360 Fanboy, and also a contributing editor and features editor for BigDownload.com, and I also produce the podcast, The Big Cast. So my business card is about 10 miles long, I think, at this point. I'm glad to be here on the Achievement Hunter podcast, as it was known for one day, apparently.
We had Knuckles. That was a fun episode.
Okay. Yeah, I've met Knuckles a couple of times. He's a good guy.
He had quite a few stories to tell us in the break, but we didn't exactly post. Like, we didn't actually add them mainly to the show.
Just... I can imagine.
Okay, so thanks for coming on the show. So you got the opportunity to write for X3F through what I was described as an American idol for games journalists, with Richard being Simon Cowell, of course. Tell us how it felt when you found out that you got the job.
Well, it probably goes all the way back to the beginning. So what happened was I was working as a group manager for EB Games, and I would post pretty regularly on GameSpot's forums, and there was a blog. They have a blog system there, so I posted there. And a friend of mine, his name is Jim Squires, would usually comment, and then he started working for a site called the BBPS. And basically, I started visiting their site, started commenting on their stories and writing stuff on their forums, pretty substantial, long-winded posts. As if anyone's read anything I write, is usually long-winded anyway. And from there, I started working with that company, and pretty early on, there was the call to arms at X3F looking for a blogger, and I basically applied for it, and not until about 8 months later did I ever hear back from Richard, and it was pretty interesting, because the way that it worked was they told us, well, we have a few people in mind, you happen to be one of the people that we have in mind. And we'd like you to write basically another application. And the application is you write a couple of news stories that are sort of in the same style as Joystick does. So did that again. I didn't hear back from him for about a month. So I didn't think I got it again. And then I got an email from him saying, well, we're considering you, but you need to do a speed test. And a speed test is basically you are on AOL Instant Messenger with Richard. Or whoever the lead is for Joystick, and he gives you a news post, and you have to write a story, have an image, and have it ready and prepped to post as if you were about to post it. And I had to do that, and nervous as hell. Like, I can't even tell you how nerve-wracking that was. I remember I had just gotten Rock Band, and I had a couple of friends over. I had just finished school, I basically was like freaking out about it the entire day. I didn't know how it was going to go. And I think it took me about 45 minutes to write one story, which is not good. And, but you know, Richard, I guess, saw that, I could get faster at it. And now basically I wrote six stories for today. One of which will live in infamy. It took me about 45 minutes to write those six stories. So you get faster as it goes. But yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking even trying to apply to Joystick.
Oh, jeez. Well, you've kind of sort of answered the next question, which I was going to ask about your other work in the games industry before X3F. Mm-hmm. But so you're kind of made out to be the sports guy in the X3F crew. What would you say is the best sports game that's ever been made, and why?
Ever been made definitely has to be NHL 94. Because I remember growing up, my family didn't have a lot of money, so I would be able to pick maybe one game every year or sometimes every 2 years, and that was one of the games that I actually ended up picking. And you know, back in the day, I was on Genesis that I got it, and I mean, back in the day, games used to cost like $80. I mean, a cartridge was not cheap, as everyone knows, And I would just play the hell out of it. And, you know, it was just really fun. It was very arcadey, but at the time you felt like you were really playing hockey. And it's basically kind of stuck with me this entire time. I really like Madden going throughout the years, but I've really stuck with EA's sports franchise. There was a year I think I shifted over to 2K because they did a little bit better. Or it was the year I think that EA didn't release a sports game for 360 when it first launched, an NHL game, I mean. So definitely NHL 94 is my favorite.
So, yeah, you mentioned that you you stuck with EA for quite a bit there. So did you, I mean, for, other than that year where you obviously turned to the dark side, would you, or what did you like think in the back of your head when you went into a game store, saw the EA version and then saw like the 2K version? What would you think about the opposite, like the opposition?
Well, there was that. There was about a year where the 2K series was better, and this was before the control stick happened for the 360 version. That's what they introduced the analog control for the stick,
yeah.
And the 2K version was just better the year before that. And so I think that even the next year when NHL 07 came out, I still was of the mind that 2K was better, and actually bought the 2K version over the EA version. And it was after I played the demo and really kind of got used to the skill stick that I figured out that it was better. When I go to the store now and I see something like Madden versus All-Star Football or whatever it's called that 2K had, it just, I like playing as a team and I like playing as the actual teams. I guess a lot of people like playing just the sport itself, and I do too, but really it's about playing as your heroes, I suppose, and to be able to play as, you know, some of your favorite players and teams is definitely what draws me to it. So EA just kind of has the upper hand on that with most franchises. I think NBA is still up in the air, no pun intended, but I think the 2K series is still a little bit better, but yeah.
Okay. We got an email a few weeks back, and I just wanted to save it till like you were on the show, but since you're not technically on the show, you know what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, so I apologize if I mispronounce his name, but Bree Dan wanted the hosts of the show to talk about the trip to Silicon Knights and the interview with Dennis Dyack. You were the guy who went out there and did the snooping around for the X3F Nation. Uh-huh. Tell us, what did you think to the Studio Knights studio? Silicon Knights studio.
So what did I think about just doing the entire thing in
general?
Yeah,
just going around and like seeing like what do you think the experience as a whole?
I had a lot of fun with it actually, and a lot of people don't realize this because we don't tell anyone though that we pitched that idea to them in June of 2008, and it took us actually it was probably late May, early June, and we were asked if we could wait until after E3 to do it because they wanted to show off a little bit more of the game at E3. Obviously, their plan was to then release the demo to see if people's opinions changed of the game. So literally the day that Richard got off the plane from E3 and came back and he went back to Tulsa, I said, okay, let's talk to them about going to Silicon Knights. And you know, we had a couple of conversations with their PR people, and we had a couple of conversations with Microsoft's people. And eventually we were told that, you know, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. But then the week the game was coming out, we were told, okay, we could do this. So what I ended up doing, and people probably, I don't remember if anyone remembers that I had an interview with Dennis the day that the game came out. I went to a signing in St. Catharines, Ontario to actually meet him and talk to him. Just to sort of, you know, I'd never met him. Obviously, you know, he has strong opinions about, you know, blogs and how things are reported on. So I wanted to maybe, you know, not catch him off guard, but introduce myself to make next week's interview a little bit better, because the last thing I wanted was to drive 2.5 hours to St. Catharines just to have no comment, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I knew the questions that I wanted to ask, so I thought that maybe that I would get some of that. So we did that on purpose. So when we finally did get to go there after months and months of actually trying to get it to work out, and it only just happened to work out that it was the day or the week of the release of the game, we brought a film crew there, so we took a bunch of pictures. Everyone there was really nice, and one thing that was really amazing about that experience was most times when you go into an office and you get a tour, it's their PR person that's going to give you that tour and kind of walk you around the company. But it was Dennis who did it. The president of the company walked us around and told us about that company. And I thought that was really classy of them, and I thought that was really great.
See.
And a lot of things that people don't realize about that company is, you know, if you mention games like GoldenEye or Perfect Dark Zero, or, you know, I think maybe even like Conker's Bad Fur Day, people are like, I love those games. They really enjoy those games. One of their main executives at that company, his name is Henry Sterchi. He actually was involved with making all of those games. I think he even worked on Killer Instinct for the N64. He used to work for Nintendo, and when they started working with Nintendo to do Eternal Darkness, he actually moved and started working at Silicon Knights. So that was another really great thing and great experience about that interview. As far as the interview itself, I made a really big point of not trying to come off as you know, I didn't want to come off as soft in the interview, obviously, because there were a lot of questions that people had about the game. And one thing that I didn't want to do, and me and Dennis talked about this even before we started recording, was I didn't want to go in there and say, well, you know, this website said this and that website said that, so what do you think about that? Because those aren't my opinions necessarily. So I told him, I want to talk to you about how I feel about the game. And we did. And, you know, I gave him my concerns and I gave him the things that I liked about it. And I thought it was a pretty good discussion overall. So overall, I think the whole thing really worked out. I know people at the end kind of got sick of it. So there was quite a bit of content. It was just because the interview was so long, we couldn't just drop it in one day.
Yeah, you'd have to.
So, yeah, we would have to edit it out and, you know, cut it up into a bunch of different pieces. And if people think that they watched a lot of Dennis Dyack in that week, then they obviously were not spending time with me and the guys at This Week in Geek.net, who were the guys that filmed it, because we watched that interview every day for 7 days, and it took us 7 days to edit all of that video. So, yeah, it took a while, and when it finally actually launched, I didn't actually get to see a lot of the comments on it because I was on a plane to Seattle at that point. But overall, you know, I was really happy about how it came out, and I think we asked him some very serious and good questions.
Yeah, the general consensus was that it was a really good interview. I mean, you did pretty good. You got the answers that everyone was wanting. So,
yeah, it was a great opportunity. And also, I mean, a couple of days before that, I had just interviewed Cliff Bleszinski, and then at E3, I interviewed Todd Howard. So it's been great. I mean, recently working for X3F has been fantastic. I've been able to talk to a lot of really great industry professionals.
Okay. So what do you think about Dennis Dyack? Is he really like the loud and proud flip-flop wearing guy that the gaming media makes him out to be?
No, I mean, I think Dennis has something that a lot of people have, and it's ironic because he's a lot like a lot of the people who don't like him in the fact that he has a lot of passion. He has a lot of passion for what he's working on, and some people might say that it's blind passion in some cases, you know, especially in his defense of, you know, the Valkyrie scene, which I still stand by is not a good idea at all. But, you know, you can't really fault someone for liking what they do, and that's what he does. One thing that I compare it to is that when I first started working at X3F, I came from a site that didn't have as much traffic, so we didn't get as many comments. And the comments that we did get were always pretty positive. But coming to X3F, you're dealing with more, you know, millions of readers. You get people who like your stuff and people who hate you. And that happens a lot. I mean, you know, we still get a lot of that today. People question why we post this or that.
And, we call them people PS3 fanboys.
Yeah, exactly.
Or trolls.
So, or trolls. And which are also into human, by the way. And so, I mean, it goes to show you that it's like, you know, I have a passion for what I do for a living. This is my job. And sometimes people don't agree with it. And when they, you know, attack you, you like to defend yourself. And people who have read X3F for a while know that if someone said something stupid, I would call them out and say that what they said was stupid. It's just how I am. I haven't really done that as much now because it's just been too busy. It's not like I go out and make a point to like, okay, let's go flame people on the message boards today or the comments. So it's not something that I do, you know, off the top of my head. But you know, sometimes you have to just realize, you know what, you're very passionate about something, and when someone criticizes you, you kind of get taken aback by it. And that's what happens with Dennis. I think Dennis is a great guy. He's actually, you know, everyone there, like, people like to say that, you know, I can't believe those people work with him, but they all share the similar viewpoints, and they're all, you know, really nice people. So as much as people don't like Dennis this month, next month they'll find someone else to hate. So it doesn't really matter. The internet has a very short attention span.
Yeah. Like, this month it'll probably be the guys who decided to quit or cancel the Ensemble Studios. But yeah.
Or what was it today? Xbox Pure was the good one today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I just briefly saw that. I mean, what's the deal with that? So
we got a news tip from someone who said, you know, this website, Cheap Ass Gamers, has this post from a personal blogger who's pretty, I think he's one of the better known people who post his personal blog there. And you know, Cheap Ass Gamer has always been a really credible source for news. So we got this post, this news report saying, you know, here's a letter from an inside source at Microsoft that is said to rename the Xbox to Xbox Pure. And, you know, our company policy is if we don't have the source, we always post as a rumor. And that's what we did. We posted it as a rumor saying, you know, there's a rumor out there that there's a new Xbox console called the Xbox Pure. It's either a renamed version or maybe it's a slimline, I said in the post. We don't know if it's true because I made a joke that there was no Microsoft logo or any of Steve Ballmer's sweat on the paper. And to be honest, we don't know whether or not the source is credible. But, you know, it's a rumor. We're responsible for reporting on these things. So here you go. And it turned out that it was a contest at Cheap Ass Gamers on their podcast, which I don't listen to, that said, you know, if you can get someone to post this fake news story, we'll send you a free game. So
I guess he won the free game.
Yeah, so, I mean, I even replied in a comment saying, well, you know, people were calling us into question and saying that we have no credibility now because we reported on someone else's rumor, which I don't agree with, but what can you do? And we reported it responsibly and said that it was a rumor and that it was possibly a hoax. And, you know, it's just the best that you can do. The reason why we have a tip line is so people can send us credible tips. We don't anticipate people are going to do anything like that. I think a lot of people have questioned why we don't check the sources. Well, it wasn't our source to check because this was someone saying that someone sent him a credible source of his own who he also said is the person who broke the HDMI story and the Xbox 360 Elite story. It was their source. So I can't really contact them and ask them for their confidential source because it doesn't really work that way. Mm. So that's why we posted it as a rumor. I think a lot of other sites that posted on it are, Gizmodo and Kotaku also reported on it as well, which made me feel better. I mean, I honestly, like when I found that it was bullshit. Sorry, I don't know if you can swear on this show. I was like, I kind of got upset about it because I was like, well, what was the point? I mean, like I stayed up to write this particular story and it ended up being nothing. It ended up being some contest. And, you know, I like Cheap Ass Gamer. I think it's a good site, but I just don't know why they would waste our time, especially when we try to work with them, especially when they have things like charity events. And I think we've posted some of their stories in the past before, but, you know, it calls into question the things that they send us now. So it's a shame, but that's kind of how the business works.
Okay. Listeners will probably know that there's recently between us two, there's been a bit of beef about Madden 09.
You mean how you called me out and then went out and bought the game yourself?
Yeah, market research, my friend. Market research.
Okay, all right. Have you been playing the game still? Are you actually enjoying the game?
Well, when I first bought it, I played it for a few days and got a good feel for it. I mean, I played most of the mode, be a pro mode. I didn't really touch on franchise mode. I mean, I really should have, but it just doesn't really suit me. I mean, I'm British. There's not much American football gets played over here unless you've got satellite TV. There's, it's,
It's a good game. I mean, they're making it a lot more casual, which helps me in the long run, because, I mean, I'm not really into the statty side of it. But, yeah, I mean, I left it for a bit and then came back to it the other day and decided to have a massive streak, scoring streak, for a few games, and then I decided to turn it off. I might trade it in soon for Force Unleashed. That's
okay.
But yeah, I mean, I've been hearing what's been coming out about that game, and I want to see for myself. So
yeah, I think I know you follow me on Twitter, and I remember writing on Twitter that I like it better on PS3 than I do on the 360, just based on the demo, because I just don't like the controls for the 360 version. They're a little awkward. But I'm not even really a Star Wars fan. I don't like Star Wars, so to me it doesn't really matter. Yeah, there goes my geek cred.
There goes your 360 cred as well.
It comes down to how the game feels, and it just didn't feel right on the 360. But I probably wouldn't get it either way, because it's a Star Wars game and it's not really my cup of tea.
Well, it's got some interest. I mean, it's got some, it's got quite a few demo downloads. So I mean, there's some interest in surrounding it. It's just,
it will sell. I imagine that game is going to be a huge seller. But from what I've heard about, I've talked to a couple of people from the network and from other networks, and they all kind of have the same feeling of the game kind of just is awesome at first and then just never really achieves that again. Mm-hmm. It kind of just drops off over time. So
yeah, we're kind of diverting away from Madden 09.
Yeah, so I love that game. I think it's great. I mean, I've already talked at my wit's end about how the things that, I mean, you guys already commented on how much I talked about it. But, you know, there's problems with the game that they still have not addressed. I mean, yeah, the online is still broken. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a fun experience. I really like playing sports games. It's a good diversion. I mean, I can't always play a shooter. Like, I know Dustin can play Halo 3 and Gears of War. I think he went through withdrawal. I mean, he had to run at PAX to go play one of those games.
Don't get me started on the Berg. Oh, seriously.
And his defense, there was a lot of mudslinging about him during the last show. I think, you know, Dustin, I met him for the first time at PAX 2. Dustin's a nice guy. Dustin's a great guy. So, and everyone likes him at X3F. Everyone reads his stuff, and they always laugh about the things that he says. And, you know, it's just fun. We had a lot of fun with him today during the fan cast. So, I mean, we're a good group of writers. I think we all mesh really well together. And people have to remember, we're a really small staff, too. But back on Madden, though, although I like Madden, I think that if you want to try a sports game and you're willing to try something new, NHL 09 is fantastic, and give it a shot. At least rent it. Give it a shot.
Right, I'll bear that in mind. I think the only way we can take this this beef to the next level is if we actually have a game against each other on live. But to be honest, I don't want this. I don't want to make you look bad. So
well, here's a secret, and I'll release. Here's an exclusive for the show. I like sports games, but I'm not very good at them.
Oh,
I mean, I am still back in the day of NHL 94. Like, I'm still thinking about everything's very arcadey, whereas the games now are not like that at all. Mm-hmm. So I play a lot of sports games, but I'm not very good. I get smoked. Like, Street Fighter is one of my favorite franchises of all time. Like, I have maybe like 30 different Street Fighter games out of all the games that have ever been released. I love it to death. Terrible at the game. I cannot play that game to save my life. It's just, it's weird. It's like, I love those franchises, and the games that I, you know, like, I'm pretty good at. Like, I'm pretty good at Halo. I'm pretty good at Call of Duty 4. I was really proud that I got all 1,000 achievements in that game. So, you know, just, I really like sports games. I'm not very good at them, but I really like them.
Yeah, I must admit that.
So it probably would be a good battle. It probably would be have a good match.
So, just before we go, just a few final comments. What do you see in your future? Where do you want to be?
Well, obviously, I mean, I've only been with the Joystick Network for 8 months, so I think there's still a lot of room to move around here. You know, we're doing really great things at X3F. There's a lot of features that we started, a lot of gallery features that we're doing. There are a lot of features that we need to bring back still, specifically points greater than life, to do, you know, an achievement video the way that they're meant to be done. his little dig at David. Me and him laugh about that, actually. And
Great Canadian War.
No, I mean, the Great Canadian War. No, I mean, those achievement videos are great, actually. I remember when he told me he was doing that, I thought that was a really great idea. And it's such a hard thing to do. And you need to have such a focus on it, so you really need a dedicated site to work on it. And Achievement Hunter is great. So I think if anyone's looking for tips on for achievements, I always go there now. So it's take a look at them, and they know what they're doing. So, and I mean, who better to tell you how to get achievement points than David Dreger, right?
Yeah, I think the hard part about the only hard thing about these achievement videos is unless it's a really simple achievement, and you're when you're showing these tutorials, it's harder to like show people how to do it through video. I mean, it's easy if you just grab the controller from them and say, "This is how you do it." Flick the buttons, but that's just something you can't do over the internet, and you'll never be able to do that. Well,
I should offer that. If you want to fly me out to your house, I can get the points for you. That's what we'll do next time. One thing that we do differently, though, I think David right now is doing the Grand Theft Auto 4 pigeon stuff. We would never do that. I would never do that because it's very time consuming. And what we've always done with Points Greater Than Life is show you kind of how to get achievements in a strange way. The best example is the Grand Theft Auto 4 achievement where you hide inside of the Statue of Liberty or Statue of Happiness. We've always kind of taught you how to do things maybe the shady way, but not cheating necessarily, but so that was always been the difference. It's like a quick video and like, here's what you can do that's pretty easy to get you some points that you might not get before.
Like the Vegas 2 respawn glitch.
Yeah, that one worked. That one was good too. And the problem is with doing that, there's a lot of games, but a lot of games, they're very tight. One thing that Microsoft does now that I think is really funny is they take it too seriously. I think achievements are becoming this very serious thing now, and I just don't understand why they're doing that, but what can you do? And as for, you know, Big Download, that site is booming. I mean, we're poised to hit numbers in the short time that we've been around that no other joystick site has been able to do. So, I mean, we're really successful there. The show has been really great. If anyone listens to One Up Yours, they know John Davison. He was on our show. John Davison's a really nice guy. He works for What They Play. You know, we've had the Warhammer guys on there. We've had, you know, it's a fun experience. And working for two sites has been time consuming, especially since I'm still in my last year of college. But, you know, it's fun, it's great, and I really hope the future just leads to more of the same because I love the people I work with, and I think the working for Joystick is fantastic.
Well, I must admit, I love the Big Cast. I mean, I listen to it. I've got it downloaded. It's one of my podcasts on my iTunes feeds. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I recommend it to anyone who's listening if they haven't fallen to sleep yet.
Yeah. I hope I'm not too boring.
No.
I'm a little like tuckered out because we had an epic show for the Xbox 360 fan cast.
Is it as epic as last week's?
I think it's more so. One thing it's always funny. Without fail, one of us, after we finish recording, will say that we think that it was the worst show we've ever done. And it always ends up being the most popular show the next week. And this week, it was the first time that Richard said that it was probably one of the shows that he's kind of, you know, weary about. But I think it turned out really well. I think it was really funny. We're all kind of hyper. Alexander Slewinski, whose name you guys always forget, is really great. And
that's our, like, apologies to Matt Damon moment. that's the root of it all. That's why I want Alexander on the show, so I can get his name on the introductions.
So when you try to introduce him, you'll forget him midway through it. And I don't know if this is on your question list, but I know I mentioned Zune Art.
Yes, I was about to ask when you're going to fix the Zune out.
The Zune Art. So let me address this Zune Art conspiracy. If there was an S in Zune Art, people would put a dollar sign on it, is basically what I like to say. So there's a technical reason why it doesn't work, and the reason is because in order to get Zune to directly – if you click the iTunes link on the Fancast, it'll automatically open iTunes, right? Yep. To do that for Zune, it has a very strange string of text, and our system, when it sees spaces in that text – inputs $20 to space it out. But if it does that for Zune, it actually doesn't work and it breaks the feed. So we can't actually put that link in the notes. So what you can do is if you go to our Facebook group, there is a link to the FeedBurner feed for Zune. And if you use that feed, it will give you the right art, I believe. The way that Zune works is that it'll actually take the art or the header image from the post. It doesn't take it from the podcast itself. Like in iTunes, when we make an iTunes podcast, you input the art, the album art, right?
Yep.
Whereas Zune, it doesn't work the same way. When you're trying to add it to a site, it actually just takes the image from the headline of that post. So because it does that, it takes the image from the headline of our RSS feed. It uses, I think, the really old art. I'm not even entirely sure. I don't even have a Zune, so I'm not sure. So we're trying to fix it. It's not like we have that button, that big red button that's fix Zune art, and we just refuse to hit it until we hit 100 people asking us to fix it.
Why don't you put just the feed burner link on the Zune bit when you click it for the
because it doesn't work. Because when you try to click the FeedBurner link, our system changes the URL.
Right. Okay.
Because the way that it's structured is it's like the FeedBurner link is like ...:// :: and then has like a weird string of text. Our system that we use to write the posts changes it because it thinks it's an error.
Right.
And it's like that's something that we would have to completely go in and revamp, but to fix one string of text, I mean.
My apologies. I thought it was just a case of like, this is the link, and then you can then there's the feed burner link. Just replace that link with the feed burner link, and we're all sorted. But obviously, it's not.
Yeah, we wish it was that easy because I mean, we get that question all the time. The reason why I have a perfect answer for this today is because we answered this question during the fan cast. Someone asked this question again, so I mean that was. It's basically we want it to work for everyone. We want everyone to have the same optimal experience, but think of it as our red ring of death. It's the one thing that we're never going to live down. I mean, it's
your Achilles heel.
It's our Achilles heel, really.
Yes. So, Zav, thanks ever so much for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you interviewed.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoyed my time here. I love how everyone ditched us.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you actually were nice enough to record this on a day that worked for me, and I know you guys record on a different day. So,
thanks for coming on the show, and we'll look forward to listening to future fancasts and big casts.
Thank you.